This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Or as we're so lovingly referred to, Seth and Steve. Now, welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This is a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are here today with our very first call-in show. We are very excited. The YouTube chat is booming.
We've got a lot of people up in here ready to
go. Yeah, First things first,
let's... We got to talk about our Facebook group we started. We want everybody to get on. And
yes, we do.
So it's called Surreal Talk, Cults, Conspiracies, and Paranormal, the group.
Yeah, not group. A real brain buster. So.
Yeah, if you go on our Facebook page, there's a link to it on there.
Not a whole much to that, but yeah, it's a cool
group. We want to use it for like a direct access line to us more than just our Facebook page.
Yeah, so basically with the group, you know, you can post questions, memes be funny. Yeah.
Links, debate.
Yeah, debate.
We're have topics and names discussions. Rather than talking as Surreal Talk, which is cool.
Yeah, well, because... And when I like stuff, I don't know how to like it as Eric, so I have to like it as Surreal Talk.
On
but
your
in
phone,
the, in the group, it. I can and I'm me in the group. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
But yeah,
what else we got going on?
We got our call-in show today. That's what we got going on. I'm excited about this. This is new territory for us.
We've been working on it for about a month. Yeah, I guess. Well, wrangling people up and email this and that.
And I got to give it to Everett on this one. He did a lot of legwork. He's been busy at emails and getting Skype going and making sure all of this stuff is set up and ready to go. You did a great job at it. I mean,
oh, thanks, man.
All kinds of time that went into this. So,
and we got to thank everybody else who was interested in calling.
Yeah, everybody that's on the list, even the people that aren't on the list.
There was a bunch of people who wanted to do it, but they didn't have the time during this day or whatever. And
right.
There's a few people that have emailed today and haven't been able to make it due to whatever reason. That's
and
cool
that's okay.
Too. We appreciate them taking the time even to talk to us in email. We'll get them on the next.
It's actually honestly kind of flattering that there's 12 people that want to hear what we have to say. So,
indeed, it's pretty cool.
So why don't we just get this show on the road and start it out with our very first caller?
All right, who are we calling and what is she talking about?
We are calling Kat Santos, and she's going to be talking about population control, the New World Order, and possibly Georgia Guidestones.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Oh, a ringback tone. Cool. Oh, that's very nice. Classy.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go turn that down.
Hello?
Hello. This is Surreal Talk.
Hello. That was really quick. You guys didn't even finish.
Oh, I know. That you'd be surprised how often I hear that. Anyways, how are you doing today?
You savage.
I'm good. I am how a savage. You?
We're doing great. We're very excited to be on the live chat show today. We're glad that everybody's here with us. So how are you doing? You feeling good?
I'm good.
All right.
Very good.
So where are you from, Kat?
I am from Amsterdam, New York. It's about 40 minutes or so from Albany, from the capital.
I've been through there, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we drove out to Maine this past July. We drove right through.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Right on. So what did you want to talk about today, Kat?
One of my topics, well, like I said before, like the Denver thing, that's been blowing my mind, but I can't even get into that. But
you can get into whatever you want.
The whole eugenic and population control, and I'm not trying... First things first, I don't want to say whether I'm going to give like a pro-choice or pro-life. This isn't about that.
Sure,
but,
right.
Margaret Sanger, who was the basically the founder of Planned Parenthood and the movement that started that.
Right.
I just feel that was like one of like the earliest like really big kind of steps towards like population control and, you know, besides like, you know, the Nazis and AIDS and all that other shit. It can go on for hours and hours, but... She
was an advocate for birth control, right? Like
she started Planned Parenthood.
Right.
She was. And like, you know, when you look at it, like, you know, from one point of view, it's kind of, you know, her main focus was, you know, bringing birth control and sex education to, less fortunate you know, like in the ghettos and stuff, or, you know, quote unquote. And
that's almost eugenics right there.
I feel like poverty is a form of a population control,
because
that's by design.
And she's been quoted saying, I have it all written down, like, there's, I mean, you can wiki it. There's, like, so many quotes that she said, like, you know, we don't want the word to get out that we're trying to get rid of the Negro population and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And actually, the I have it written right here. It says, eugenics by Margaret Sanger. It says, a proponent of negative eugenics, which aims to improve human hereditary traits through social intervention by reducing the reproduction of those considered unfit.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's
a lot. I've seen a lot of people online who are for that, but
there's a lot of people that advocate for population control and that don't realize that they're doing it.
Like people who think that people who are mentally retarded or of low IQ shouldn't be able to reproduce, and that's the exact same thing. I'm totally against that.
I'm against that too. Did you remember the discussion that we had on one of our episodes? How that it's no longer survival of the fittest anymore with all today's medicine and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like people that normally wouldn't have thrived now can still, you know.
Like a person with polio might survive.
Exactly, yeah. So it's, you know.
And that's kind of what sparked me to, like, really, like, kind of do more research on this, because, you know, I've always been in the healthcare field, and I've seen, like, so many advances, like, here and there, and, you know, everything, and it's, like, everything that they tried to do, it seems like we, on the other side, are trying to, like, kind of counteract that, by, you know, life support and this and that and the other thing, you know, and if you look at, like, Planned Parenthood, the thing that's crazy is, like, they're all in, like, inner cities, and they're all, you know,
right.
It could just be because it's a cheap place. You know, I could be crazy.
There's a number, and I'm not sure what it is, but there's like the majority of abortion clinics are set in low poverty areas. I mean, and that's just truth.
And part of me doesn't buy it, because there was time when I didn't have, you know, health insurance, and I had to go to my, you know, yearly, I call it tonsil check.
Right.
And I would just go to my regular doctor, and I would just, you know, make a small payment every month. And it's like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, I don't feel like it's really needed. I feel like it's part of a bigger plan to weed out, you know, the quote-unquote unfit.
Right. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about vaccinations? Do you feel like that could be a part of population control? Because I got a lot to say about that. How do you feel about that?
Oh, my God. You know what? I've been trying to look into that. It's hard. I've been a paramedic for, 11 years now. So I've seen, you know, certain diseases actually come back, like tuberculosis and things like that.
Right.
So, and then, you know, you see, like, the bird flu and this and that. It's, like, vaccinations, it's so, like, up and down, because there's another big thing that I deal with in my field is something called MRSA. It's a really
It's like a staph infection.
Yes, exactly. It's like a hard staph infection.
Yes, it's, like, I mean, it's, like, really resistant to antibiotics. So it's kind of, like, you know, I can't. I have kids, and yes, I've gotten them vaccinated. Except for once, I did not get them vaccinated with the bird flu, because it just came out and I didn't know much about it, and they didn't do any research, you know. Well, I mean, enough for me.
Let me share a little story with you, Kat. I had a guy on my Facebook post a couple questions about there being mercury in the Fluvarin vaccine. So it kind of got me thinking. So, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, is this true? I called our local pharmacy.
Same thing with fluoride, yeah.
Yeah, so I called our local pharmacy here. And I asked, I said, this was our local Walgreens. I said, do you have the Fluvarin flu shot? And they're like, yes, we do. It's available. You can come and get it. So I asked, I said, is there mercury in the Fluvarin flu shot? And he's like, no, there sure isn't. And I was like, well, I'm looking at the ingredients list here from your website. And it actually says that there is mercury in this Fluvarin flu shot. And he's like, well, let me take a look at that. So he starts looking at it. You know what I mean?
Is that exactly what he said? They don't know what the hell
they're talking about.
Sick. And he's like, oh, well, I guess it does say that. But you know what? It's in such small concentrations that it really doesn't matter.
No.
And I was like, well, what about in the multi-pack? Because on my website here, it says that the multi-pack gives you way more mercury than does in just the single Fluvarin shot. And I guess that's thermarisol or whatever it's called, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
guys, especially, like, when you're getting it over time and time and time again as you're an infant, when your brain isn't fully developed.
So, yeah, and that was my point. So, like, mercury is like a neurotoxin, right? I mean, it's not good for you, right? Okay, so I asked the pharmacist, I said, so do we know that this flu shot won't cause cancer? And he's like, there's never been any studies that have shown that it causes cancer. But I asked him at the same time, I said, has there ever been any studies that shown that it doesn't cause cancer? And he said, no.
I'm like, of course not.
Fair enough. Okay, so
he's aware of anyway. I mean,
yeah, right. Well,
this is a local small town pharmacist at a Walgreens. He's not,
right.
Yeah, but I just thought it was crazy. And when I asked him, I said, do you think that this is okay for people to take? And he said, well, it's basically risk reward. So when he told me that, I was kind of like, you know what? That's the shit that you hear from the government and the politicians and everything all the time. Risk, reward, risk, reward. Yeah, there's a risk, but do
we
you
will
want
give
the
you
flu?
The cure, but we're going to chip you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite that hardcore.
I know. And that's like where I think about the whole like elite, you know, elitist people thing is like they, you know, they have the money to have, you know, people bring them the best foods, you know, the most organic, natural, everything that can naturally build an immune system, you know, on your own. And like, you know, they have, you know, money to send their kids to these camps out in the woods and this and, you know, and everywhere, like just to get all the natural, you know, probiotics, and there's so many different things that, you know, they can get, but just to be, like I said, just to be able to build your natural immune system, then I think like the vaccinations almost seems like it's maybe like for the poor people that can't afford to do that. So technically they're going to be weaker and leads to the population control. And
I didn't think about that either. That is a good point.
That's like
a very
natural selection by the amount of money you have.
Right. Yeah.
The rich will survive. You know? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. It's like, I could go, oh my gosh, like my mind's like scrambled. I have so many notes in front of me, and just from seeing so many, you know, people in my field with, you know, different paths of.
And that's like, funny because like on the Georgia Guidestones, it says that you should maintain population under 500 million.
And that's the thing. And I feel like they're working towards that, you know?
Yeah. And, and Agenda 28 also, I mean, this population controls, it's everywhere. Like you said, like eugenics, Agenda 28, the Guidestones.
Yep.
I mean, it's literally, if you look for it, you'll figure out there's plenty of examples of population control out there. I mean, and I can't say, now don't get me wrong, I don't want to kill 6 billion people. But I can't say that the way...
That's not what you said earlier.
No, I totally agree with that. But
I can't say that the way things are going right now...
Modesty.
Yeah, right. Well, and we talked about this before. So how do you, if you are going to do a population control, how do you do it? Do you do it over the course in one fell swoop, like kill 6 billion people in one day? Or do you try to genetically do it?
You sterilize
them over the course of 300 years, sterilize people.
It's not
so
even
that
just a sterilization
that's
technique.
That's my thing. I think it's over years.
You got to change the population's line of thought. Like people these days, like most new people coming up, like millennials, don't even want to have children.
Fair enough. Yeah, and you know what?
That could be part of selfish.
No, that could be part of population control. It could be all the way they're raised
selfish.
And conditioned.
It's
you know
like
what I'm saying?
It's in the media now. They kind of
exactly.
Tell you, like, oh, you know, I am woman, hear me roar. I don't need no kids. I don't need no man. I don't, you know, whatever. It's like this big, huge thing. And
yeah, the image is changing.
And I think that has a lot to do with it, too. I also think that has a lot to do with voting. I think that has a lot to do with why, like, the current media is, like, really pushing for the younger people to vote. Because let's face it, young people are dumb. You know, you learn more.
That's true.
You know,
I'm with that.
You know, the older you get, the more wisdom you gain, basically, you know. And again, with the population control, I feel like the antibiotics, the vaccines, all those things, like I said, we were talking about like MRSA and C. diff and those kind of infections before. I feel like that, you know, as long as they've been doing those things, it's been slowly like weakening and weakening and weakening people's systems so much to where they're eventually not going to be able to fight anything.
Right. All the while David Rockefeller had his seventh heart transplant at 102 years
exactly.
old. Right, yeah.
Exactly.
No, I'm just saying though. You know what
Where
I'm saying?
Where do they get all those hearts?
Little children. Do
this
they
is
eat?
Like Guatemala.
Duh. They eat the little kids. That's
Planned
where they get the
Parenthood.
Heart. Yeah. There you go. Right.
Oh, that's messed up. Love it.
It's probably a true story though.
I know. Seriously.
Well,
yeah,
Kat,
so I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I could talk about. I know you guys are like limited in time, but I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Hey,
very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that you're you are a valued listener.
Oh, don't give her that crap. Valued listener.
Thank you.
She is. No, she shows up to the chat every
that.
Week.
It's more than that. I'd say more than valued. I don't know. We're pretty protective. I'm pretty protective
of
our listeners.
I try to like put a filter on because I'm usually like a little more. Like I said, I've been a paramedic for how long, so. Usually, I'm a little more vulgar when I talk.
Yeah, you don't have to have no filter around us. You hear us talk all the time. You know, we don't hold shit
Eric
back.
Eric was born without a filter. I've been working on keeping mine.
I've no filter directly between my brain and mouth. It's not there. It just doesn't happen.
Perfect. You guys got to do more of these shows, though. It's great.
We plan on. We were talking about that earlier today. If this goes good, we would like to do something like.
And so far,
like,
so good. So.
Yeah, and so far, so good. Yeah, we would like to do one a month. I mean, you know, something like that. Maybe
that would be
every last weekend of the month, do a call-in show just about just different shit. Everybody.
If we can work it out, yeah.
Yep.
That would be cool because, like I said, in my downtime, I have so much more crap I could talk about.
That's awesome. All right, Kat, I guess we're going to let you go and move on to
Eli
coming up.
And we appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
And thanks for all the support.
All right, no problem. I'll be listening for the rest of the night.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right, that was a pretty good discussion there on population control.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I liked that. That was good.
Successful first call.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
Drebin's here. Better late than never.
Better late than never. That's
all right, so are we going to get Eli on?
Yep. Are we ready for it? Eli, you ready to go?
McDonald's is a form of population control. That's very true.
Mm.
You know, I seen a nice meme on Facebook.
It had
Ronald McDonald and the you know, was it Pennywise from It? And he's like, I'll kill the children. Pennywise is like, McDonald's like, bitch, I've killed more people than you have.
Dude, it's a messed up book.
What's that?
It.
Oh, it's It. Like, oh, I've never read the book. I've seen the movie a bunch of times.
Real quick side thing. I haven't read the book either. I'm not going to be that asshole who claims to read something he hasn't. But I've read on Reddit people who have read the book. Okay, you know the scene the first time they go down in there and they kill the big spider?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the kids go down there?
They all float.
Well, in the end, after they take out the it, there's apparently a big orgy, and all the kids have sex with Bev. It's her
what
idea.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's Stephen King, man. He's messed up. Not even making
for
his
For real?
Up.
That didn't make that into the movie.
No, you can't film that.
Yeah, well.
there's certain laws against that. Yeah.
Some anyway, people can film it, but
that's messed up. All right, we're getting ready to give Eli a call, so here we go.
He's ready. Let's do this.
Skype. Ring.
Russell Byrne says, go, Eli.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Stephen King, man. He's messed up.
Yeah, no shit. That's what I was just saying.
What's up, Eli?
Yeah, what's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great, man. All smiles this way. Good vibes and everything. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Oh,
yeah,
we got him on video.
Oh, we got video?
So, yeah, we don't have video because our production computer's over there. He can't see
What's
you.
What's up?
Oh, he can't see me?
No.
Oh, I can see you, though.
Okay, do you want to look at me while I talk? I don't know. Like
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me either way.
Okay.
Now check this out.
He's a handsome devil. Okay,
I tried to look up The Possession of Gregory Lane so that I had some sort of like point of reference to talk to you with you about this. But so as I'm looking up Gregory Lane, it's giving me like house listings for sale. Number 6 Gregory Lane for sale, $88,000. So I really couldn't find a whole lot of shit on this. So what do you got, bud?
No. This isn't, as far as I know, like, and apparently from what you've looked at, it hasn't been published. It's actually just a possession that like I witnessed happened as like a younger kid.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. Really? No shit. Cool.
And there was just like a small group of people there and like an even smaller group of kids who were the kids of the parents that were like in the room in the gym. Actually, it took place in a school gym. It's kind of a long story, so I want to see how I can, like, I have some notes here, actually.
Yeah, right on, yeah.
Sweet. So this takes place in 2006, Easter 2006. And a few things led up to this. My parents, like, my dad, like, grew up kind of working in, like, the church ministry and stuff. And one of my parents' things they did was, like, bring in homeless people. And let homeless people stay with us. And it's me, sure. And I have two brothers and a sister. But so we had a few people live with us before Gregory. But when my parents met Gregory, he was holding out a sign over by the highway, and my dad picked him up. And he's a pretty old guy. He's like 60, in his 60s, late 50s, early 60s. So he actually lived with us for 4 years before anything started happening. What's up?
I was just going to ask, so like what, was it just out of nowhere that he just became possessed or like, did
I think he's getting to it.
Oh
no. My dad noticed some things were off about him, like from the beginning, just the way he was. And, it turned out to be like a couple things that my dad found out about after. Like before he moved in with us, he was like huge drug addict. Like he was into, some like sex slavery or whatever. Just a lot of crazy, crazy mess.
As a 60-year-old man in the sex slavery.
He was 60.
That's what he said. Something like that. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's when he came to live with us. I don't know, like,
he couldn't have made a lot of money.
When he was younger,
that.
He was into sex slavery.
Oh, I was gonna say, he couldn't have made a lot of money at that.
Was he in the master side or the slave side? Just curious.
Like the selling side.
Oh, he was the
seller.
Wow, far out. All right, carry on.
Ooh, cool.
Anyways, So Easter Sunday, 2006. It's like a, it's a weird day because like he really never came to church with us that we went to. But that day, like he woke up asking, like, you know, can I go to church with you guys? And my parents were like, yeah, sure. Like, I don't see why not. Like, that'd be awesome. So he came, and like the whole time, I remember he sat at the end of the row down from the left of me, and he was like kind of like sitting and standing like every once in a while and sweating a little bit. And after church ended, he like my or the pastor asked to talk to him, like, because like it was kind of, it was pretty noticeable, like he was acting weird. And so a couple of people were talking to him, and by this time most of the church had left, and it was just some of the church leaders and their kids there. And then, you know, he's like, can you guys pray for me? And they're all like, yeah, sure, we can pray for you. And after like 5 minutes of praying for him, he just started like throwing up and convulsing and like screaming, like not
wow,
just
no
yelling,
shit.
Like screaming. It's ridiculous. And like when it starts, I'm outside of the meeting area, and like I like run in and see it. And like the women are kind of like walking back, and now they're, this is in a gym, like I said earlier. So they're sitting on bleachers with Gregory on the very front row, and like the church leaders, and it was guys between the age of 20 and 40, mostly like big guys. This was in Athens, Georgia. So yeah, it's mostly big guys, like that. And just remember that, like for later in the story, cause it gets pretty crazy. But, so they're all like praying for him, and he just keeps yelling, and the pastor is like trying to talk to him. And like, you may hear like in movies people's voices change and stuff, like when they're demon possessed, and you know they do like enhance a lot of stuff in Hollywood, but that's pretty much exactly what it sounds like, what you would hear in movies. Like his voice was changing, like legitimately.
Did it go like deeper or higher?
Oh yeah, deeper, higher, different languages.
Really?
Like different tongues. Yes.
And you were you witnessed this?
Yeah, I witnessed this.
Cool. I bet that was gnarly as shit, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, but it was in 2006, and I was like,
yeah, you could have been more than what, 10?
That's like 10 years ago. I was 8.
You see, I was 8, right. So that probably didn't hit you as good as it. Like, so thinking about it now, it's probably a lot more like devastating and crazy now than it was back then. Of course, I'm sure watching that back then was probably fucking nuts too, but.
Oh my gosh. I was pretty sheltered as a kid, to be honest, you know. So like this was a very like, very eye-opening experience for me, like in my personal experience, it was like witnessing pure evil almost. So anyways, he starts speaking in different languages, and like the pastor, whose name was Paul would try to talk to him, and he would respond but in different languages, like he wouldn't respond in English. So after a while, after like 30 minutes of like, the guys started to like hold him down because he would like try to stand up, and like kept throwing up over and over. It was ridiculous.
No shit.
Oh, like, yeah. This whole ordeal took like place over about 3 to 4 hours.
Oh man, they were all there that long?
Oh yeah. It was a while.
And then did they eventually perform an actual exorcism on him?
So here's the thing. A lot of people see exorcisms as this very strict set in stone process that you have to do it this way to get this done.
Well, that's how the Vatican sees it, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't that how the Vatican sees it?
Yeah, that's how the Catholic Church sees it. Sure. You know, if it's not done this way, it's not done properly, it won't work.
You know, you got to think that's kind of like just an asshole way to be about it. Just because the Catholic Church has their own set of rules, it's kind of like how
yeah,
the Jedi,
pretty,
for instance,
pretty much,
like
and they don't want to mess up. You know, if they have a process set, then you know, they,
I feel like there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. You know,
yeah, but you know, and what like a lot of like Christian denominations would believe, like you know, demons like envy you. They wish they were you, and you have power over them just because. They don't really like live. They don't. they don't exist in this realm, but they can affect this realm. Does that make sense?
Like it does to me.
Like spiritually, they can harm you spiritually, but physically, you know, they can't.
All right, so they got to fuck with your mind
unless you give them permission to.
Like they're not on this plane to mess with you physically, but they're on a different plane as to mess with you emotionally, spiritually, maybe psychologically or anything like that.
Yeah,
maybe,
exactly.
Maybe fuck with your dreams and stuff.
Like getting in you, like fear is the number one way that like people would believe they can take over your whole life. Yeah,
that was a little joke from Fear and Loathing.
Okay, so so this is about like hour and a half, 2 hours into it. This is where it starts to get ridiculous. He starts responding in English, and I remember it's a lot of it's foggy. What I do remember is like when this first started, this like halfway mark, the pastor was like, you know, what's your name? And I heard him like I heard Gregory yell. I didn't hear what he said. What I do remember, like talking to my dad about it, is apparently he said there's seven of us. Oh, so wow. seven demons living in this one person.
Plot thickens.
Oh shit, that's a gnarly possession.
Yeah, and you know, I don't really like to. I don't like to talk to my dad about this, but like I talked to him the other night just to kind of like get a few dates from him because like my dad has lived like crazy life, and you know, this is not one of the things he really likes to talk about.
Here's a personal question: are your parents still religious, Eli? Do they still go to church and everything every week?
So here's the thing. No, my parents do still go to church every week, but recently in my parents' life, my dad has realized a lot of corruption in several church. Like I've lived in five states. I'm 18. I've lived in five different states, just because my dad's has moved from job to job, working for different churches. And you know, it hasn't worked out so many times, and my dad realized, like, you know, some of the way these church works is just very corrupt. Like, it's become about money and a lot of other things, personal pride and stuff. So,
oh yeah,
my dad has gotten out of like leading churches. They still go to church, but my dad he doesn't work for churches anymore. He has a different job now, but
right.
Yeah.
So he still believes. He just doesn't get other side of the bullshit of it or whatever.
He believes in God. You know, he trusts a lot of all that stuff, but he doesn't really want to get into church politics. That's a good word, church politics. That's not.
I don't blame him, man. Be really spiritual all you want, but that's when you start throwing in all the politics on top of it.
Yeah,
you're really
exactly. Yeah.
And I've taken some shit from some of our listeners about how I'm kind of pro-religion. I see nothing wrong with religion if it's done the right way.
No, you're just absolutely wrong, Everett.
I'm absolutely wrong.
Absolutely wrong, Everett.
Why is that?
Because I'm going to take a note out of Dogma, if you guys are Kevin Smith fans. So believing is a good idea. But, okay, what's he say? He says, if you have a belief, it's hard to change. But if you have an idea, that's a little bit better. Okay,
it doesn't fucking matter. It's a movie. We're talking about real people.
Right. So, you follow me here?
All right. Sorry. Go on.
No. You know what? Go ahead.
No, you had a point. I guess you were going to make it.
Yeah, I forgot.
I killed it.
Yeah.
But also, my point isn't at the expense of yours.
Uh-huh.
Is religion's good. If people believe and they want to go and be likewise and learn about the
religion.
Religion
has caused so much murder and
that's what I'm saying. Once you start doing the politics of it and the real
high
organized.
Yeah, but that's bad religion. Good religion,
exactly.
If it only promotes
it's
good
things.
It's
down at the corner. It's the community coming together and talking about their beliefs in God. That's not hurting anybody. Sure, maybe some of them don't like, you know,
organized religion. I don't feel like it
whatever,
is as good as just because it even says in the Bible that you don't have to go to church. Any small gathering of people that are worshiping
that's where my dad gets into. He's like, you know, I can just meet with three or four people, and the Bible says, you know,
exactly.
If three or four people meet, God will
be
there.
I feel like that's and you know, I'm not a very religious person, and I don't know, but I feel like if you're gonna do it, that's probably the way to do it. I feel like a more closed off and smaller group is, I don't know, man. I just feel like the bigger, the more money that you get involved into it.
You're taking the shitty 1% of religion and applying it to the whole.
The more money that you put involved into religion, and you know, they've got that tax exempt status. I'm just, I don't know. There's a lot of crooked stuff going on in religion.
Exactly.
Yeah, but a lot of those places that collect that
money corrupts people, and even like church leaders, you know,
that's true.
It can happen, you know. It doesn't have to happen, but it can happen.
But let me throw this on the flip side. for as much as the corruption happens, there's also they're taking that money and doing good stuff in the community, helping people who don't have food or need help with their bills. I've seen just as much good stuff come out of religion as there's bad stuff. So I will not, I'm not a religious person, but I will not allow it to be panned.
Well, I'm not saying that it needs to be
just because a certain shady group like takes advantage of it.
Right, but you know what you're saying? When you say 1%, that's not exactly accurate either. I mean, the Catholic Church has been known to like hide.
Let me change that to X%.
They're switching pedophiles to different countries and stuff like that, just so that they can avoid prosecution.
That's not who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about.
But that's organized religion. Yeah. That's organized religion. Catholicism is an organized religion, the same as Christianity or Judaism.
I understand that.
You know what I mean?
I understand that, Strom Thurmond, you filibustering bastard. Anyway, all right. Well, we've been on here about 15 minutes, Eli. We'd love to talk to you some more about this.
Wait, did you ask me if there's anyone wanted to drive 1 point home? If there's anything else,
you got any more 1 points?
Anything else that you wanted to drive home before we end this up here, Eli?
No. That's
crazy, though, that you saw possession. Story, yeah, that's very nuts. That's interesting. I like that.
Wish I could see something cool like that.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you probably...
But he's probably like, I wish I didn't see that.
Yeah, like
until you see that though,
it seems a lot. I'm sure it wasn't as scary, but like I only remember it as an 8-year-old.
It was scary. What do you mean? I bet that was fucking terrifying.
Seeing this guy like throw people like across off bleachers is crazy, like ridiculous.
It's pretty nuts. All right, Eli, we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. And
thank you very much. We appreciate
listening and all that jazz we said to Kat before.
Yes, yes. We appreciate you being a good, loyal listener, and thank you for having interest in our show, and we appreciate you.
No problem. Great talking to you guys.
Yep, thank you. Have a good day. Eli.
You too. Bye.
And we're clear. All right, everybody, we're out. That was great, man. That was an interesting story. Somebody first-hand knowledge.
Right, of an actual exorcism.
What's cool about it is he's not
puking and shit?
Yeah,
that's
he was an 8-year-old when
crazy.
He saw it, but he's gone back and since talked to people who were adults there, like his dad,
seen it.
And who still believe that's what it was. So.
Yeah, he said his dad didn't really even want to talk about it that much. It must have been a real devastating fucking experience for a grown man not to even want to bring it up. Like, whoa, look, you know, I mean, let's just leave that shit alone.
Indeed. So do we got Devin in the chat? Have you noticed if he's been in?
I have not seen Devin. Devin what? Chandler? Chander?
Yep.
I have not seen him in the chat. Maybe hit him with an email and we can maybe move to either Dave or Jay or Nash John. Stamer? Yeah.
Hold on for me here. You know what you're supposed to do here, right? You're supposed to...
Yeah, Joel Osteen, yeah. I agree with you there.
Austin.
I agree with you there, Russell Byrne. I'm reading the chat just you know, in and out here, but I agree with him. Vatican hides everything.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were supposed to do the Joel Osteen. They're talking about that in the chat. Like, no, I got to sit here and filibuster it and make the show go on.
It is by man, faith is by God. I like how, so Dave Strange, organized religion is by man, faith is by God. I like that. Okay, so that's maybe what I was trying to convey a little bit more. Maybe having faith is okay, but having your belief, a belief structure is bad. You know what I mean? Not so much bad that, but it's not as easy to change. You know what I mean? You can't expand on your belief structure. It doesn't matter to me, but I'm just saying.
So what if somebody's content with their beliefs and that's what they believe? Far be it from anyone to tell them they're wrong or half wrong or stupid or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. I shouldn't say anybody's wrong about it. I'm just saying,
in
my personal opinion,
that can't be proven at all. Like, think about all the crazy, quote-unquote crazy shit you buy into, you know what I mean? And you're giving somebody shit about God.
I was not giving anybody shit about anything. I was giving a personal opinion.
Okay, so how about this? If they accept money in a tray, we can't go about this for too much longer, but and they don't pass it up to the next level of the church organization, they keep it all local, is that fine with you?
What do you mean, like to pay for their like food pantries and stuff like that to keep the electricity on?
So they have a church and they can provide community services?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
When they pass it up to the next
line. I'm okay with that, with having your food pantry for the homeless to come in and eat and having your electric and your lights on so that you can maintain a church. But when that pastor drives a Mercedes fucking Benz, I'm not okay with that. And he buying that from, you know, church donations. That's not okay. To me, that's not fine. You know what I mean? If he's got a day job and he makes $100,000 a year and he drives a Mercedes-Benz, that's cool. But if you don't work and you're a pastor and you're driving a Mercedes-Benz, you're getting that money from your congregation. So they bought you a Mercedes-Benz because you're teaching them about God? That's not acceptable in my book.
They're fine with it. They need a person for that who has studied about God, who has basically, you know, good counseling, most hopefully, can counsel them and give them the faith guidance that they need. That's what that person's for. You know what I mean? It's like having a mayor of your town. This is the mayor of your congregation.
He's their confidant.
He can be.
I don't know.
Just because you don't dig it. I mean, these people are completely fine with it. It's been going on for thousands
I'm not
of
saying
years
that
at a small level.
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is...
It's like
is,
people shit on Boy Scouts. Yeah, some of them, they're anti-gay or anti-black. I don't know what their problem is. Somebody's got a problem.
Right, they're anti-gay. But it's ridiculous, but...
I hate how people see one small thing and think it's going on completely everywhere.
Right.
There's people who have nothing to do with that who just want their kids to go out and maybe learn how to start a fire by themselves. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I'm totally for the Boy Scouts.
Not.
Yeah. I was never a Boy Scout, but I'll just leave that joke alone.
Yeah, just don't touch it.
That was a good joke.
How many times I can tell you not to touch it? Is Nash in the chat? Have you noticed he's in there?
I thought so, but I'm honestly not sure.
Let me see if I can rouse him real quick.
Well, y'all are going to get into trouble at work.
What?
Andy didn't have to pay taxes. Anybody needs to watch The Zeitgeist. A great movie. It correctly explains religions. I'll have to check that out, Rodney. Zeitgeist, huh? Zeitgeist? He's a piece of shit. It's easy as... Oh, she's talking about Joel Osteen.
She ain't wrong, man. Not a fan of him.
No. Gosh, no.
Any... You know, there are a few televangelists that I don't mind, like Larry Rice in St. Louis. That guy...
He's okay. He tried to help all those homeless people.
He runs a huge shelter. Yeah. His TV station does nothing but all day long.
That's
to
Channel
get
24, right?
Right.
Now, okay, so he's not bad. But Joel Osteen in like a $1.8 million mansion.
Right.
You know,
those people are totally in
get
it for
out
the
of
money. There are certain people who do like the pious lifestyle, who do want nothing more than to help and to spread what they consider to be a positive message. All right, I'm done with that. Let's move on. I'm sounding like I'm ready to
yes,
go off
he
and
is.
Put on the collar.
Like, praise Jesus.
I personally am not a believer. I can't say that there isn't. I can't say that there is, but I don't like.
Did you locate our next guy? Devin
or
Nash,
no.
Or Dave?
Dave's
I know Dave's in the chat. Dave's waiting patiently for his chance.
Dave, you ready?
Dave, you ready?
He's Yo, going to be about 30 seconds before he can answer. But
yeah, right.
Let me ask in the chat. Let's see here.
Dude, I'm so ready to talk about gargoyles with him. Yeah, that's the Freemason guy that gave us all the shit, right?
No, one person did. All right. So I just asked Dave in chat if he's ready to go.
God, this show's actually fun, man. This has
been great. Yeah, so far so good.
Cool. And it's actually, I'll let you guys know now, this is probably one of our higher the most people we've had in a chat. And
by far.
Yeah.
By far.
This is pretty
good. All right, Dave's ready. I'm going to give Dave a call.
All right.
All right.
Hey, Dave's not here, man. No, this is Dave, man. I just said Dave's not here, man. Dave went to go.
Here we go.
He'll be back. Who's doing Denver?
It's ringing. It's a good sign.
Oh.
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
Hey, Dave. It's Eric and Everett from Surreal Talk. Thanks
How
for,
are you doing?
Thanks for talking
hey.
To us.
How you doing, guys?
Doing great. Thank you for calling in today. Dave's not our one. He, as far as I know, he isn't a listener. Originally met Dave through one of our ads we run on Facebook. I think it was about the
Secret Societies episode. That's right.
And we got a lot of flack in the comments about some of the stuff that was either in the ad or mentioned in the episode. And we wanted to have Dave on because he was kind of vocal in the chat about some of the misconceptions about Freemasonry. So I was like, this is great. Let's have him on.
Yeah.
And hear it firsthand what Freemasonry is all about.
So, Dave, no gargoyles, right?
There are no gargoyles.
No gargoyles.
Oh, damn. But it's not very a secret society. What does it take to be in the Freemasons? Is it anybody can join, or how does that work?
Well, it's basically it is a fraternity.
Okay.
Which means it's a fraternity for men. You have to have the basic requirements are you have to be of legal age, of sound mind and body, which is. The body part is negotiable.
That's
you know,
up for
we all have
interpretation
our
there. Yeah.
Does that mean like fit, or what does that mean of sound mind and body? Does that mean like you have to be fit, not crazy?
You don't know what of sound mind and body. It's an old school thing, man. It just means are you in your right mind and are you capable?
Okay, so
right, which means are you doing this of your own free will and not some under some
Your explanation was way better than Everett's.
And the, one of the biggest things is a belief in. A supreme being.
Okay.
It does not have to be God. It can be whatever God you believe in, but you have to have a belief in a supreme being.
So you're not so you have to believe that somebody's over you at all. That's bar none. That's one of the deal. That's a deal breaker. If you don't believe in a supreme being, you can't be in.
If you have no faith in God or a God, then you will be denied.
Oh,
you will not
wow.
be allowed to petition and join Freemasonry.
Okay, so what kind of stuff do you guys do? Do you guys get together like on Tuesday nights and stuff? Or, I mean, what kind of stuff is involved in this fraternity? I mean, is it I just don't know, like, what all kind of stuff do you guys do?
I assume they got to have weekly meetings. Every fraternal organization has, like, a weekly, you know, meeting.
We do. It's mostly in my jurisdiction. I'm in the state of Nevada, and we have at least monthly meetings, called meetings. We discuss things regarding the fraternity, but Freemasons, basically, it's a charitable thing. We give, Freemasons have single-handedly funded the building and the maintenance and the refurbishment of the George Washington Memorial in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Freemasons, as part of our yearly dues and donations otherwise, almost without them, the Shriners Hospital, we can almost completely fund and support Shriners Hospitals as well.
Oh, okay. So Shriners is like a subsidiary of Freemasons?
Yes, they are what we call an appendant body. You have to be a Mason first, and then you can join the other appendant bodies of Freemasonry.
Oh, cool. Wow. Right. I had no idea that Shriners was an appendant body of the Masons.
Yeah, I know. We did a whole episode about it.
Yeah. Gosh. We should have had this guy on that episode.
There's so many... you look on the internet and you Google all this stuff and you see so many conspiracy theories about, you know, we take over the world, we run all the things behind the scenes. And
that's pretty much how you came up on our show, is the conspiracy aspect of it.
Yeah, if running things behind the scenes means we're washing the dishes and serving the pancakes at the pancake breakfast where we can support our local schools, then we're running things behind the scenes.
Hey, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, it's really just it's a fraternity for men, and our stated goal is we want to take good men and make them better. Hmm. And the lessons are taught and learned through allegory and symbols, and those symbols are taken from the ancient stonemasons. We consider ourselves a rough stone or a rough ashlar, and throughout our life we take, through following the practices in the Bible and doing other things, we shape our stone into a smooth stone. That's our goal throughout life, is to make myself a better man than I was yesterday.
Oh, what good deal.
And then by supporting all of mankind, then we think we'll leave a better America by leaving better men.
It's definitely a good call.
Yeah, but there's really like no conspiracy stuff. You don't got no juicy secrets that you can let us in on?
I don't think that's the way it works. We're not in the organization. We don't get the secrets.
Oh, damn.
We have secrets, but our secrets are the way we recognize each other for, like I said, the charities and goodwill towards
kind of like a
brothers.
Secret handshake in public that no one else would be able to do?
That's not what he's saying at all.
Right, exactly. So that's what I mean. I see all these stories about the Freemasons are evil, or they're a cult, or they're a religion.
Uh-huh.
We actually are not a religion. We forbid talking about politics and religion while in lodge. It's completely forbidden.
That's awesome.
That is great.
We believe in the harmony.
I believed in the higher power.
Yeah, because I would totally be a Freemason. There's no politics or religion at all.
It's not allowed to be discussed in lodge. Once we go in lodge. Out of lodge, you're free to discuss whatever you want, as long as you uphold the good name of Freemasonry. Because primarily we want to make good men better, and we do everything to support our communities, and that's really all it's about.
Well, that kind of sounds like an actual pretty good deal then, you know what I mean? That doesn't sound like, you know, because everybody, you get the Freemasons, you got the, you know, there's a really a bad... they have like a bad, like, it's
reputation.
Not bad. Yeah, not reputation.
It's
not
mysterious.
So much, it's mysterious. There you go. More mysterious reputation.
Right.
And that's why I was kind of saying like the secretive aspect of it. You know what I mean? A lot of people maybe don't think that, you know, actually, well, and hell, myself included, I didn't know that what you guys did now was a lot of charity work.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that. So that's pretty cool. I'm glad that you actually got to call in and give us a good another side of that, because I didn't know any of that.
Let me ask you this. How many Masons are there worldwide? Roughly.
Millions.
Millions.
Wow.
Millions. Millions. Yeah.
How many lodges are there in the United States, roughly?
What do you
like? Oh, shoot. I wouldn't be able to venture a guess. I know in my home state, in my jurisdiction of Nevada, and Nevada is not a very, you know, populated state compared to some other states, we have roughly I think 43, 44 lodges currently running with an average of 50 to 100 members each.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Okay, so what degree Mason are you?
Well, there's different forms of masonry. Like I said before, you have to become a master mason first before you can join all these other bodies.
Uh-huh.
You always hear about the like the 33 degreed or
that's,
Knights Templar.
That's exactly.
Yeah, those are.
Go ahead. I'm
those
sorry.
Are what we call appendant bodies.
Appendant bodies.
To become a master mason, there are 3 degrees, and once you've gone through those, then you are a master mason and you're free to join the other bodies.
Uh-huh.
One of which is the ones that have the 33 degrees and the other stuff.
Now, I've heard a crazy conspiracy theory that, like, you don't get let in onto all of the good, juicy secrets of everything until you reach the 33rd degree. You know, like, once you get there, it's a 33rd degree Mason, then that's when they let you in on all of the real heavy head trip
How do you expect him to comment on that if he hasn't made it there? They're not going to tell him.
Well, you know what? I guess you're right. Everett.
See, that's that part of Freemasonry is one of the appendant bodies, and I believe that's Scottish Rite or York Rite.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be a master mason before you could join that body. If I just stay what we call Blue Lodge, which is just a regular masonry, a third degree is the farthest. That's the highest degree there is. That other thing is a separate thing that was added on years later. The same with like Shriners. That's an appendant body. Those are somebody wanted to start, you know, separate things and with still within masonry and have their own thing, and that's all
sense.
Cool. But that's all. If there's something there that's new to me and everyone that I've ever known, there's no secrets like that.
Dave, I got to be honest with you. Freemasonry is totally different than what my mind had predetermined it to be.
And to
you
be
know
fair,
what I mean?
Every time you look into something, it seems like that's how you come
Shut
out of it.
Shut up. yeah, but really though, like I mean. Go ahead.
There's always these people that they want to believe the fantastic. They want to believe the mysterious. So the mind wants to have something like that to think about, and they're always willing to make assumptions and put them out there for everybody, and then somebody grabs onto it and it runs.
Any kind of failure or anything, they want to believe that it's not a failing of themselves. So you want to think that there's some sort of cabal or a conspiracy that's against you or could be against your people. So it's pretty common for people
right.
to think
and,
that what's happened
yeah.
to me isn't
and
my
it's,
fault.
And it's always aimed at people that don't want to give up their secrets.
Wow.
I don't want to give up mine, but that's just personal.
I don't have any secrets. No skeletons in my closet.
Everybody thinks masonry is a secret society, and we are not. What we call ourselves is a society with secrets.
A society with secrets.
Are just, you know, our means of recognition, and like I discussed before.
Right. Well, that's pretty
it'd
cool.
It'd be rude
I mean,
of us, honestly, to try to get him to give up the secrets. I mean,
you're right. It would. There's a Mason Lodge, like, what, 3 houses down from
yeah,
your house?
I live, like, it's on my same block. It's 3 houses down from me. They're good people. They have spaghetti cooks every week or so. They have, you know, big signs outside. Come in, eat spaghetti, $3.
See,
now
that makes along with what he was saying. It's, such, you know, like a charitable.
Yeah.
It's a big community
yep.
organization. And like I said, man, I can't say enough that's totally different than what I had expected out of, you know, Freemasons. I'm sorry, the National Treasure movie fucking... You know what I mean?
It destroyed it. It got me.
It just
things like that just perpetuate it.
They totally do. They totally do.
You know, probably 10
and
years
if
ago.
If things like that are really happening, it's not a Masonic thing. It would be
one of the appendages.
Those people at that time thing. It wouldn't necessarily be. It might be Masons doing it, but it's not done in the name of Masonry. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sure. Well, that's not to say if you guys didn't come across something like that now, you wouldn't take the responsibility and do like an old school, like, you know, just to say, you feel a responsibility.
Gargoyle.
Not a gargoyle.
Oh, all right.
But the way the Masons before, you know, hid the treasure supposedly or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys still feel a sort of responsibility for
right.
that sort of thing? Or would you?
No. It might be addressed, but we wouldn't really feel the any responsibility.
Sure.
But thinking about the gargoyle thing, in medieval times, you know, when they were building all these big stone churches in Europe and stuff,
mm-hmm.
what we call the operative Masons were the ones that were actually doing this. Now
well, so
they
Masons
had
did make some
they
gargoyles.
Had their guilds, they had their guilds, and they had their different levels. They had like apprentices and fellows of the craft and master Masons and
Sure, just like any other
trade.
Right, as yeah.
Right, just like any other trade. But symbolic masonry is we take the symbolism from that operative trade and use it in our teachings to try to make ourselves better. We use the allegory and the symbolism to help teach the lessons is what it is. But
nice.
And that's the only tie it has, really.
I have a crazy, completely off the wall question for you. So, like,
sure.
What would you do? Yeah, I would be too. So, what would you do if, like, your Mason brothers came up to you and, like, look, we got a secret we got to tell you, and it was something crazy, like you guys run the world? I mean, how would you deal with that as far as what you know about Freemasons right now? And you'd be like, wow, we really run the world? Like, I didn't know that. Like, well, dude, you didn't get to this level yet.
We couldn't tell you. Anybody you're in deep with comes to you and says, "I run the world."
Right. Well, that's what I was getting at. So, how would you feel about that? That'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it?
Of course, it would be crazy.
Well, from knowing what I know from the years I've been in Masonry, that would be one of just to do it, let alone to tell me about it, would be one of the most un-Masonic things that they could do.
Ah,
it's totally against what Masonry is about.
You guys actually seem like a pretty decent society, honestly. You know what I mean?
We got a question, though, real quick from YouTube, from Kat, who was just on the show. She wants to know,
sure.
At what point did Masonry go from stonework to secret society? Or a society
of
secrets?
Like I said, it's not really a secret. There was a group of people who decided they liked the way it was set up, and they believed that there was actually... the guilds of the stonemason in medieval times and before, you know, we trace the stonemason guilds all the way back to the building of Solomon's first temple. And we have a lot of stories about that, but we don't, I'm sorry, I'm losing track again. What was the question again? My mind is going about
when did you go from a stonework society to a secret society, not a stonework society, but a group of stoneworkers to a fraternal organization, more or less?
Okay, that happened during medieval times.
In medieval times,
like around the Crusades,
a group of actual operative masons decided they were going to, they wanted to form a fraternity, but they wanted to use, you know, some of those same things that were set up in the operative masons, the people that actually work stone, but take it and be able to apply those same things to people of any trade, just to have, you know, their own fraternity. So it became operative and the symbolic separated at that time. You did not have to be an operative, an actual worker cutting stone to be able to be a Freemason.
That's really interesting.
In the symbolic sense, yeah.
Okay, so it was just a
split that happened in medieval era.
That's post-Crusades, I assume?
Well, somewhere around the 18th century.
Okay, so
I have one more serious question for you, Dave. You think that there are secrets of Masonry that you don't know yet? Do you think that there are things that you have not been let into yet, you know what I mean, that they haven't told you yet because you either not high up enough yet, or do you think that there are things about Masonry that you don't know yet? Obviously, we don't know, but I don't believe that.
I think everything I'm taught is what secrets are there are there for me to find throughout my journey in life as a Mason.
Okay.
Necessarily for somebody to enlighten me to.
And if there are any other secrets, it'd be in those appendical organizations, not like a main Freemason thing.
Oh, okay. So in one of the subsidiaries or whatever. What did you call them? You said the Shriners were
we call them an appendant body.
Appendant body, that's right.
Great. Well, Dave, that's pretty much about the amount of the time we had allocated for you here. We really appreciate you.
Yeah,
on the show.
I mean, dude, I totally got a way better understanding of Freemasonry after talking to this guy. We should have had him on before we did our Secret Societies episode. Well, we probably wouldn't have sounded like such douches.
He didn't know we existed at that time. You know, yeah,
fair enough.
To have that to actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's not really a listener of the show. We hope maybe you can become a listener. We talk about all kinds of crazy stuff, but either which way, we appreciate you coming on.
I'd like to join the group as well. It's because there's a lot of conspiracies that I think have merit, but there's others, and like this one, that I'm able to, you know, dispel a lot of myths.
Hey Dave, check it out. In the group, you could totally be like the Everett of the group, and if there's stuff that you don't believe in, man, that's what the group's for. If somebody's talking about a conspiracy and you got a little bit of light to shed on it, get in there and shed some light on it. You know what
about.
I mean?
Yeah,
that's what we're about, you know. So
again, thanks for calling in, Dave. And,
we really appreciate it, and we really appreciate your insight on Freemasonry.
Thanks again, Dave.
All right, no problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, you have a good day.
See you.
You too. Bye.
Wow, I got to say that was a lot of information that I did not know about masonry. Honestly, that was pretty nice. Good.
So we got one more caller we're going to do on this first half.
Okay, which one is that?
That will be Mr. Jason Laswell.
I don't know a Jason Laswell.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You know a JB.
Yeah, I know him.
He's known on chat as Touched by a 12 Gauge. He's in every week on our YouTube chat. He's been a great friend to us for many, many years. We met him on Xbox Live.
Many, many wonderful games.
Many. Like Commandant Lasard.
Police Academy.
I actually first time met Jay this past, I think it was June. I was driving out to Maine, who I talked about earlier this show. I stopped in Cincinnati. We finally got this chance to sit down. Have a hello, how are you doing? And next month, Eric and I are actually driving out to Ohio to have another sit down with Jay and just hang out for a while.
Yeah, I think next month we're going to do a on-the-road show. So we're going to do...
Yeah, we'll see how that works out.
we're gonna drive out and visit one of
it's
our
friends.
It's only
5 hours there, 5 hours back. Who knows what happens while we're in the car? Don't ask, don't tell.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Anyway, so...
Jay, you ready? Mr. B killing him?
Yo,
he's like, don't
Jay,
give away my secrets.
I'm attempting to contact him now. Oh, there he is. He's in chat. So, JB, I'm getting ready to get a hold of you. Hey, man, do some talking because I hate dead hair.
You hate what?
It's my worst thing ever.
You hate dead hair?
Dead hair.
Dead hair?
I got a haircut today.
Did you get a haircut today?
I did.
I shaved a little bit. I just used the trimmer.
Shaved a little bit?
Yeah, I didn't use a razor. I just... Yeah.
All right. Here we go. I'm calling Jay Bird up.
You're calling.
Man, that first part of that's like kind of hard on my ears.
It's not bad for me. I thought you farted was what happened.
Oh, my God.
Man, this has been a great show. This is actually a lot of fun, yeah.
Yes, it has.
I like to hear other people's opinions on things, you know what I mean? Like, stuff that I find interesting. Well,
not just opinions, knowledge.
Yeah, knowledge. Yeah, like, dude, that Dave guy dropped me some knowledge bombs. He's like, look here, you beautiful bitch. I'm about to fuck you up with some truth.
And
he's like, wow, yeah, he sure did.
Jay, I'm trying to get a hold of you, and I'm not getting anything, Pally.
Uh-oh. Maybe he was touched by a 12-gauge.
I hope not. God, I like Jay.
Me too.
Please don't touch yourself with a 12-gauge. Let's see. Let's try here.
What about Nash? No.
Oh, here's our call. Here's our call.
Uh-oh.
Go for JB.
Am I here, though?
You are there, sir. How you doing, buddy?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound good.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
What's going on, Jay?
Yo, hey. I got a...
What do you got?
We just did the clap test, so you don't got that.
I've lost him. We've lost him.
Rut row.
Uh-oh. Jay, I think I'm going to call you back on your phone. This Skype isn't working out here. Yeah, I'm gonna call you on your phone. Sorry about that, guys.
What, we need one of those technical difficulty signs. Like the,
All right, I'm the one who makes the noises, Pally.
No, I can vocalize as well. Flig-a-goo, flig-a-goo, flig-a-goo-goo.
All right, there we go. I'm calling this phone.
All right, you call it. The show must go on.
I'm here.
Okay, there we go.
What's up, Jay?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what that is. I got the YouTube and the Snap on the Skype, so I think it was my fault.
Either way,
no big deal.
No big deal. Welcome to the show, Jay. Long time listener, well, first time caller.
Right.
Yes, long time listener, first time caller. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. How you doing today?
It's awesome.
Me and Jay played a few righteous rounds of Big Team earlier.
You guys played some Halo this morning?
Of course I did.
That's nice. Yes. So what are you talking about to us today? What are you talking about today, Jay?
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the origins of Christianity.
Oh, that works
and
well.
You guys have just been whooping on religion today.
Coincidence?
I think not.
Well, but also, maybe it's a Mandela effect going on here, because I did
Mandela?
Some research about the origins of Christianity a while ago and had a different conclusion, or maybe it's just new literature coming out. So it's just a whole different thing than what I was used to knowing before.
Well, hit us, man.
So before, what I had learned was Jesus was supposed to be some kind of replication of a sun god and all this stuff.
The original.
But now I learned about the Flavian dynasty.
The Flavian dynasty?
Oh, I've never heard of that.
The Flavian dynasty. It conquered the Jews in around 70 CE, and
so
then controlled religion.
Still there, Jay?
Yeah.
Are you guys coming through?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you loud and clear, bud.
All right, sorry. Well, they started to control the religion outcomes and rewriting history, basically, so that the story of the Messiah, which is what Christ is supposed to mean, actually mirrored the military conquest of these rulers. So you learn these origins.
Go on.
And it'll make you kind of rethink the way you look at maybe if you thought about God and what you thought about what miracles were.
Really? So what do you got in that? What do you mean? Like a miracle is not just what we think it is? Or what are you talking about here, Jay?
Hey, you're losing me a little, Jay.
Well, some people may think that there's like this being and angels and all this stuff. And I was just thinking maybe that it was us. You know, we're an electrical creature. We send off this energy out of our brain that controls our muscles and our thoughts, and maybe it's us. We have this electrical impulse at a highly stressed moment, and it creates a field around us sometimes.
I'm following you on this. We talked about that in our metaphysical mind.
Yeah, I'm following you on this. This is...
Keep going.
Yeah, but as far as religion, like as a system, like an establishment, it's all created, right? So it's definitely these two different things about us. Like there's this metaphysical part, and then there's like this political area that you were talking about earlier, if you could separate the two, right?
Yeah.
So there's definitely evidence that religions were created as a political power to control people and destroy people, and that they're still going on today.
Well, religion would make a great control device.
I mean, that's a lot of people say.
How do you like your eternal soul? Over easy or, you know?
Now, how do you like your eternal soul? In paradise or baking in hell?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
In my imaginary world or yours?
Right.
Like, that's, you know.
That's an interesting
but
way to think
I would
about
like
religion.
To see
so what are you saying? Like we're the master of our own destiny?
What did you say?
It overlaps.
What did you say?
I said, so what you're saying, like we're the master of our own destiny?
Yeah, not only are we the master of our own destiny, we are the product of what we think we're looking for. Like, we're looking for ourselves.
Okay.
Like, we're not... People who are looking for this higher power are really just looking for how they believe in themselves. They are the higher power. We are the higher... Each individual has the ability to literally send signals of electricity through our brains into our bodies and control ourselves.
That's
right?
How nerves work.
So you can have some people can jump higher than others. Some people can see better than others.
Okay.
Some people can talk faster. So what happens is maybe there's people out there who can send out that signal stronger than others, or even pick up that signal stronger than others.
But how's that?
So they'll have these experiences. They'll have these crazy experiences, right?
Uh huh.
So.
So you mean kind of like adrenaline?
Yes, adrenaline activating your brain, shooting out this extreme pulse of energy around you that could change and bend just anything. The field around you can be bent. So people can have these moments where they lift trucks out of the dirt and save people under them, helicopters up off of a bridge.
I feel like we're talking about two separate things at the same time here. Are we talking about two separate things here? Like, we're talking about, one, how the metaphysical mind can allow you to have certain abilities, and two, there's a religious aspect to what we're talking about. Are we relating them together anyway here, Jay?
Well, for religion, for me, it's an institution. Religion is an institution. That's like saying Democrats and Republicans.
I got you, but is this relating at all to the metaphysical mind part you're talking about? Or are we talking about two separate things? I'm just confused a little, Jay. You know me, I'm a little slow.
No, it's two things that are intertwined with each other throughout history.
Okay, go on.
Where they take the metaphysical mind and the journey of mankind wanting to find out who he is and where he comes from, and then taking that and wrapping some words around that idea and using it to control you. So So they both exist. Like, the fallacy of religion is that it's man-made, but faith, like you were saying, is that's us.
So I got you. I think
like
I think what you're getting at here is like that we are. And when I say we, I say people that are in search of, you know, religion, they're searching for something. They're searching for a powerful being, a master of them to come over them.
To a
but
question,
the answer to a question. But when in reality, we're our own metaphysical being with our own electrical impulses, and we control everything. It's not dominated by a deity, is what you're saying?
So we're the master of our own reality.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. We are our own you're the master of your own body, your own mind, your own soul. There's not like this ultimate being that can tell you what your life is going to be. You have that power inside of you. Okay? And that's the quest of man. Man looks for that. He's always looking outwards and upwards and downwards and trying to find that part of him.
Yeah, to complete himself.
So you can take that.
To complete, you want to
complete
yourself.
You can take that want and that need for that journey, and you can say, well, I know the guy that you're looking for. As a matter of fact, he sent me here to give you some advice on how to live. Really? And what I need you to do is be a good provider for me. I need you to raise up some sheep, and I need you to bring me some gold. And then I need you to listen to me. And then I need you to give me your children. I need them to fight for me.
I get it. I get where he's going with it right now. All right, so...
Please explain it to me.
So... He's saying that religion is basically taking advantage of the human's need to need something, to need.
So some trickster long ago saw that people wanted an answer about why things
are
and what will happen.
There was a common thing in humans that they needed. They were looking for something
explanation.
And so maybe this trickster, as you like to call it, knows that these, you know, we are the master of our own being, our own body and everything. But he figures a way.
It could very well be that way, but it's hell of speculation.
Right. Well, and that's all this ever is.
Fair enough.
Okay, so, and what he's saying is that, like, the trickster, the guy that invented religion, knows that this is how we are.
Psychology, basically.
But he thinks, how can I take advantage of this? Mm-hmm. How can I take advantage of this?
Right.
Of the humans' need for,
Well, it's any con man does the exact same thing.
Well, exactly right. You know, yeah.
You find out what
God, that's the long con, isn't it? The religion? That's the long con.
Well, through eternity?
And now knowledge and understanding can change the way you look at yourself and everything around you. I had a near-death experience in a car accident. Well, it wasn't really a car accident. I was in a truck, and I hit a guardrail head-on at 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
And the only thing that happened, and there was a police officer that witnessed the whole thing, and I don't expect anyone to believe me. I think it's unbelievable myself, but whatever. It is what it is. Here's what it is. I hit this guardrail, I bounced off of it, my truck does a 180 and lands back. I unbuckle my seatbelt, I flop out of the truck, I land on my knees, the squad car pulls up, the officer's cussing at me saying, are you okay? I say, hey, I'm awake now, man. And I jump back in my truck and I take off, okay? Now, I get home and I'm down, I lay down. The next day I look in my truck, the only thing that happened was the emblem on the front popped off and the lights were
at
angled inward 45 degrees.
At 80, you hit a guardrail, and that was it? That's all that happened?
I was driving a Chevy Cheyenne WT 1500, and I had the needle buried on purpose.
I'm aware. Okay.
Were you trying to kill yourself, Jay?
Honestly, what year, Jay?
No. I was racing up a hill. I was just trying to get up a hill as fast as I could, and I went up a driveway that I thought was still the hill I was driving. It was at night. It was raining, and I just ran right up into this apartment complex driveway and went right past the turn, and like where the dumpsters are at, there's a guardrail right there, and I just nailed it. And it was like an amazing, absolutely crazy moment. And for years it was, the God had my back. It was the spirits of my loved ones. It was angels for tires. It
was
all
these,
it was all these magical reasons.
Is it, you felt that was a miracle? You survived that?
Yes, I felt like that was a miracle. Like that was a real life thing that I lived through. That doesn't even matter to me if anyone ever believes me, because it really happened.
No, hell,
and I was there.
Man, if it's really you, then that's as real as it needs to be, man. I mean, forget everyone
else.
Like if you survived an 80-mile-an-hour car wreck head on, and you can attribute it to whatever you'd like to. You're alive, buddy. You know what I mean? And that's good.
Indeed.
Well, some years later, after a whole bunch of research into religion and what God is and who's what and all that other stuff, which we all go through that little journey.
Yeah, we then all ask eventually. Yeah.
I come to the conclusion that this is all like made up stories about these things that they make you believe in it. It can give you it can invoke an emotion, especially an emotion of righteousness where, you know, my God told me I can strike you down. Like, okay, all right, that's crazy and all. But in the end, you start to realize that it was never there. So that's when I go towards the electrical impulse in our brain that, you know, the pool of chemicals inside the cholesterol ball, and just they all go together and form this powerful pulse of electricity that could probably repel metal or keep you from, you've seen how them people that fall out of an airplane and hit the ground and only break a leg?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
You know, there could be, like you were talking, the adrenaline pumping so hard, and it just makes that electrical impulse inside of you just reach outwards.
My volley.
Man, yeah. And,
well, shit. Hey, I hate to cut you off, but we're already passing up the 13-minute mark.
13 minutes?
Yeah, we've already been doing Jay for 13 minutes.
No, you're good. Wow, that's... Nope. So... Wait, hang on. So, like, to sum this all up, so you really much think that, like, you got in the wreck and you felt like it was a miracle for the longest time, but you really now are looking at back on it thinking that it was your own metaphysical body and mind that helped you get through that? Or am I mistaking you on that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm trying to boil the whole conversation together, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you first wrecked, you were under the impression this was a miracle, because like you said, 80 mile an hour into a guardrail, that should have been, you know, that's almost certain death.
Checkmate.
And then yeah, exactly right. Well, and then like now, the more you look into it, you're starting to think that maybe you were responsible for your own survival there, whether it be due to adrenaline or, you know, any different sort of thing that the metaphysical mind or body is, you know, we are the masters of our own destiny. And like you said, we could very well be the master of our own body too. You know, I don't
yes.
know.
That's, and my that's brother a... being hit by a train and surviving is kind of like also puts that over the top for me.
Wow, yeah.
So,
man, that's interesting,
guardian
man.
Angel, at least.
Yeah, that's interesting, man.
All right, Jay, we're going to go ahead and let you go and hop off here in the first episode up. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
This is our number one fan and friend out there of the show. So.
Jay, number one Surreal Talk fan.
Take it easy, Jay.
Thank you.
All right.
Easy, got you.
So are we just going to... hit up Tyler and...
yeah, we're going to take a real short break, and then we'll come back, hit the guest we got lined up for part two, and we'll finish it out. People in our YouTube chat, stick around. I'm going to end the feed here. We're going to end part one, and anybody listening on podcast, thanks for downloading. We'll see you on the next episode. It'll be released tomorrow.
Oh, I just want to say thank you for everyone that took part in part one. This has been very great. We want to thank Eli. We want to thank Kat. We want to thank
Dave, Jay.
Yeah, this has been a very good episode, a lot with it, so... we're going to be gone for about 15 minutes, like you said, for the YouTubers,
yeah,
and about
the,
a day and a half
boys
for podcasters.
Room, get our drinks refilled, et cetera, and we'll see you all back here shortly.
All righty.
Hey, give us our outros.
Oh, yeah. I need my paper.
So this is still, after all, a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This, because I forget that sometimes this is
a
podcast.
You're a YouTube star now, huh?
YouTube star. Anyway, so this has been Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, brought to you this week and, of course, every week by Amazon. If you're looking to do any online shopping, visit SurrealTalkPodcast.com/Amazon to be forwarded to our special Amazon page, where any purchases that you make will directly support our crazy conspiracy show. Also, if you're into audiobooks, go to our website, SurrealTalkPodcast.com, and click the Audible banner to create your 30-day trial and download your free audiobook. It's great. And as always, remember to like and subscribe to our Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube accounts. That's Facebook.com/SurrealTalk, Twitter.com/SurrealTalkShow, and YouTube.com/SurrealTalkPodcast. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at info@SurrealTalkPodcast.com. or by messaging us at any of our social media pages. Please remember to leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, or whatever your chosen platform is. And while we ask you to be honest in your review, please be nice. But if you're not going to be nice, please be funny. And that's it.
Hold on, I got to throw in a little more.
Ah, shit, here we go.
I want to give some love out to the network, lineupmedia.fm. They allow us to come in every week to do our show here in the studio. They pay me a nice salary to get some other network stuff done. We got a lot of other podcasts that people might be into. We've got interest all over the place, from MMA to women's issues. We've got a couple Mexican podcasts. We've got a French-speaking podcast. Check us out at lineupmedia.fm and find something else to listen to when you're not listening to us.
Yes, so, definitely.
That's great. I guess, we'll, like I said, we'll catch you all next time.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.